From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Wednesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you would like to be part of the program, we'd love to have you. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Ace McKay is our celebrity producer today. Matt Gubensky, just plain old Matt Gubensky, screening your phone calls. And Tom Price is our celebrity social media maven today. So if you're watching us on YouTube, we'd like for you, first of all, to give it a like and subscribe to the channel. That would help us out. But you can also text your question to Father Wade. Just text your first name, how you're listening, and a brief question to the main call-in number, 833-288-3986. And remember, message and data rates may apply. And our host is here every single Tuesday. I think I said Wednesday at the beginning of the program. I don't know why I am forever wanting to move you to Wednesday. You'd think it was my 50th anniversary. Father Mitch's 50th anniversary is coming up on Friday. I'm feeling older than Father Mitch right now. Anyway, Father Wade Menezes, how in the world are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. You did say Wednesday, but don't worry. Yeah. It's not necessarily confessional matter.
That's okay. So. We'll replay it on Father Mitch's day one of these years. It'll be great. So, speaking of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque.
Yes, that's right. So, we are on day 7 of the National USCCB Novena to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, leading up to the consecration of our great nation to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And, of course, this Friday, June 12th, is the great solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, followed by Saturday the 13th, the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So I want to talk about today with this novena about to wrap up here with the consecration of our nation to the Sacred Heart. I wanted to talk about the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and wrap it all up, Jack, with the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who died in 1690. And all of this brings to mind the beautiful, beautiful practice of the Sacred Heart enthronement of the family home, the Sacred Heart enthronement of a nation, the Sacred Heart enthronement of one's business, the Sacred Heart enthronement of one's family as far as the persons themselves go. There's all kinds of Sacred Heart enthronements, and this is a beautiful, beautiful devotional practice for the Catholic Christian. You know, our Lord in his sacred incarnation took on a real, viable, pumping, bloody human heart for the 33 years that sacred tradition tells us that he walked the earth, right? And poetically speaking, Jack, the human heart across cultures and across times, poetically speaking, the human heart has been a profound symbol of the following, and this is by no means an exhaustive list. It's been a profound symbol of love, of mercy, of faithfulness, of steadfastness, of commitment, of passion. That is to say, the love that is willing to suffer for the other, the passio in the Latin, right? It's been a profound symbol of loyalty, of diligence. And even we can say it's been a profound symbol of being an anchor, of being a sure and sound, solid foundation, if you will, of a balanced emotional life involving the feelings and emotions, right? St. Athanasius, the great church father, tells us that God became man so that man may become like God through God's sanctifying grace. And Fulton Sheen, who's going to be beatified on September 24th in St. Louis, coming up later on in a few months, he once said this. He said, God made man in his own image and likeness so that one day he, God, could take on man's image and likeness, right? And he did in the womb of the Virgin Mary, right? And so this beautiful, beautiful devotion to the most sacred heart of Jesus, this symbol of love, mercy, faithfulness, steadfastness, commitment, passion, loyalty, diligence, and an anchor or a firm foundation of a balanced emotional life regarding the feelings or emotions. These are all great truths surrounding this beautiful devotion to the most sacred heart of Jesus. And again, we consecrate our nation to the most sacred heart of Jesus, to Christ's sacred humanity, here at the end of the week, and we celebrate the great solemnity on the 12th, this Friday, June 12th. The Most Sacred Heart of Jesus is a profound symbolism of the core belief of Christianity, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, loves each of us immeasurably and without exception. There's that symbol of the heart again, love, right? Although pierced terribly by our sins, the Sacred Heart of our Lord overflows with compassion and love for all of mankind, even when that love is not properly reciprocated. Therefore, the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus is one of the most important devotions among Catholics. It became popular following the apparitions of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a Catholic nun from France between the years of 1673 and 1675, at a time of very rigid Jansenism, the heresy of Jansenism, a very, very rigid form of Catholicism. And so we have the merciful, loving heart of Jesus come at this time in a set of approved apparitions to St. Margaret Mary. During his visits to her, Jesus promised to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays of 9 consecutive months, I will grant the grace of final perseverance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their final sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. The church dedicates the entire month of June to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, which I'm sure ticks the devil off, right? Remembering always that we were loved first by God, Catholics strive to venerate and imitate the most generous and sacred heart of Jesus, our Lord. A popular devotion to help sanctify the family and the family home is to conduct the Sacred Heart enthronement, wherein a family, parents and children, couples, and even those who live alone, entrust themselves fully and their home to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and his protection over the persons of the family and over the home of the family. Sacred Heart enthronement materials can be obtained from two websites, welcomehisheart.com and catholiccompany.com. Again, welcomehisheart.com and catholiccompany.com. And so it's just a beautiful, beautiful devotion that we want to acclimate ourselves to as Christians in general, as Catholic Christians in particular, calling to mind the sacred humanity of the God-man, this beautiful doctrine of the hypostatic union, that the one divine personage of the Son, the second person of the Trinity, had two complete and full yet distinct natures, human and divine, subsisting in his one divine personage. And it's in that human nature that he took on, just like ours in every way but sin, that we recall the Sacred Heart devotion, and again, those powerful images, poetically speaking, that across cultures and across times, the human heart has symbolized. And so this is very important. I want to start, or I should say, before I start giving the 12 beautiful promises of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and what they mean for each one of us, which we can do right when we get back from break, I want to really encourage our callers today, Jack, our live callers. If you've had the Sacred Heart enthronement of the home or of your business, for example, give us a call. Give a witness about the Sacred Heart enthronement, okay? That's what I want our callers to really focus on today as we gear up now to consecrate our wonderful nation to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, a nation, by the way, which has its 50 states under the patronage of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think of the beautiful Basilica of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Just a beautiful, beautiful landmark, reminding us of the patronage of our country. But we're going to consecrate this nation to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. The bishops are meeting for their spring annual meeting in Orlando this year. Today is day 7 of the novena, found at their website, usccb.org. And also, they will consecrate the nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus at the end of the week. The Great Solemnity itself is Friday the 12th, and the Immaculate Heart Feast Day follows the following day on Saturday the 13th. Give us a call this hour and witness about the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
I want to give you a personal invitation to renew your own devotion to your guardian angel, a very important thing to do, with prayers and quotes to help you draw nearer to your heavenly helper. With this free ebook that's available from EWTN, My Guardian Angel, My Constant Companion. It's available at EWTN.com/guardian angels. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. And Father Wade, the middle of the show is as good a time as any to do research on the bishop's consecration.
Yeah.
And you have done that.
Yes, at the break, I drew a senior moment, Jack. Let's just call it what it is, okay? And I didn't know if they were going to consecrate the nation.
At least
on
you
the
know
great
what day it is.
I didn't know if they were going to consecrate the nation to the Sacred Heart on the Great Solemnity itself on Friday the 12th or the day before. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it is the day before that they're going to do it, on Thursday, June 11th, because this historic consecration, they want to coincide with the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And January 11th is the anniversary of the 250th year of the Declaration of Independence. And that's the day they thus want to consecrate the nation. So the consecration of the United States to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus by our nation's bishops this year will take place on Thursday, June 11th, the actual ninth and final day of the novena, because today is the seventh day of the novena. They will consecrate the nation on the 11th, the day before the Great Solemnity. They are meeting in Orlando, Florida, and they will do it from that city. Also, I just want to say, you know, there's a great third website to find a complete PDF ready to print on your home printer packet of the Sacred Heart Enthronement for the Home. And that is at the Knights of Columbus. If you go to kofc.org, that's kofc.org. And once you get to their homepage, on the search bar, simply type in Sacred Heart Enthronement, and the PDF booklet comes up immediately to print off with the family prayers leading up to the Sacred Heart day that you're going to do it. There's a few days of family prayers before that. And it's just a fantastic, beautiful, full-color booklet for the Sacred Heart Enthronement of the Home. Again, PDF document ready to print off on your home printer. It's about 9 pages or so. It has all the preparatory prayers, including the prayers of the enthronement itself, to be led by the father of the home, the mother of the home, if the father is not present, or to invite a priest or deacon to come do the Sacred Heart enthronement. The notations there are very well explained on how to carry this out. So again, kofc.org, Knights of Columbus website. On the search bar, put Sacred Heart enthronement, and you will find it right away.
So what's in it for me, Father Wade? This whole Sacred Heart business.
Well, I want to talk about the beautiful nine promises that our Lord made to St. Margaret Mary for those who specifically carry out the devotion of the nine first Fridays, as I talked about earlier. And these are those 12 promises, and I'm hoping people will give us a call this hour and give us a witness about them and about the nine first Fridays and or about the Sacred Heart enthronement of the home or the family business. But here are the 12 promises. Number one, I will grant them all the graces necessary for their particular state in life, meaning whether single, married, widowed, a consecrated priest, brother or sister, active or contemplative. We will have the graces necessary to be faithful to our state in life. How awesome is that, huh? Number two, I will grant peace in their families. There's a big one that we all need right there. How beautiful is that? I will grant peace in their families. Number three, I will console them in all their troubles. I will console them in all their troubles. Number four, they shall find in my Sacred Heart an assured refuge during life, and especially at the very hour of their death. What a promise that is, not only during life, but also during the very hour of death. Number five, I will pour abundant blessings upon all of their undertakings. I will pour abundant blessings upon all of their undertakings. Number six, sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Number seven, tepid souls, in other words, lukewarm souls, shall become fervent. Number eight, already fervent souls shall speedily rise to even greater perfection in the spiritual life. Number nine, I will bless the homes in which the image of my Sacred Heart shall be exposed and honored. You know, all throughout my growing up years in Modesto, California, you enter our back door there, and on the wall, my mother had a plaque that was of the Sacred Heart that said just that. I will bless the homes in which the image of my Sacred Heart shall be exposed and honored. Number 10, I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened of hearts, meaning hardened in sin, of course. I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened of hearts. And number 11, to those who propagate this devotion, they shall have their name written in my heart, never to be erased. And number 12, the all-powerful love of my heart will grant to all those who shall receive Holy Communion on the first Friday of nine consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They shall not die under my displeasure, nor without receiving their final sacraments. My heart shall be their assured refuge during that last hour. So there you have it, the nine First Fridays devotion with the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to those who honor his heart in a very special way, with the 12th promise itself mentioning the nine First Friday devotion. Give us a call this hour. Give us a witness about the Sacred Heart enthronement of your home that you've had done, give us a call about your love and devotion to the Sacred Heart just in general as we approach this great solemnity on this Friday, June 12th, honoring the sacred humanity of the God-man, Jesus Christ.
To the phones we go. Andrew is up first today in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Andrew, you are on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father.
Hello, Andrew. Thank you for your call today. We appreciate it.
Sorry, there was an echo. So I grew up in the Midwest, and thankfully my parents had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart. They would, for 10 years, they were getting up at 2 in the morning, unbeknownst to me when I was a youngster, but they were getting up at 2 in the morning to pray for the family for an hour. And I had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart as well as Mary, and passed that along to us. And I went to a lot of war zones, a lot of years, gave the man 23 years, and made it back to tell the tale. That's one example of the awesome protection. But my wife and I have done the nine First Fridays and also the First Saturdays devotion, and it's just been awesome. When my parents passed, we took the great image of the Sacred Heart they had and thrown that in our house.
Wonderful. So, and they pass it on. They pass it on to you,
absolutely.
Kids.
Absolutely. You know, and great. when I struggle and I go to Mass and I hear we lift our hearts up to the Lord, like, oh, that's right. Don't forget about the Sacred Heart. Lift my heart up to the Sacred Lord, Sacred Heart, and lift it up to the Lord when I'm struggling. And it's always just a great reminder.
Yeah, you know, the requirements to carry out the devotion to the Nine First Fridays in honor of the Sacred Heart is very simple. It's to receive Holy Communion in a state of grace on each First Friday of nine consecutive Fridays. That is, in other words, to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with the intention of honoring Christ's Sacred Heart. Number two, they must be consecutive. And number three, the nine First Fridays must be made in honor of and in reparation to our Lord's Sacred Heart of Jesus. And an easy way to do that is simply to offer your Holy Communion that you receive in a state of grace with no known mortal sin on your soul. Offer that Holy Communion per se for the sacrileges and outrages committed against the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Offer your Holy Communion in reparation that the heart of Christ may become better known, more well known in a world that needs it so badly, a world that's suffering from a veritable culture of death. So again, to receive Holy Communion on nine First Fridays consecutively, and to do so obviously in a state of grace, that is to say with no known mortal sin in your soul, the Fridays themselves must be consecutive, and you go to that Mass and offer that Mass, even as a lay person, your intention, your Holy Communion's intention, to honor the most Sacred Heart of Jesus in the world today. How about some traditional short aspiration prayers to the most Sacred Heart of Jesus? By the way, Andrew, it's just so providential that you're calling from our nation's capital. I marvel in God's goodness and his providence that our first caller amidst all this, when I've talked so much already these first 17 minutes or so about the consecration that the USCCB, our U.S. bishops, are making of our great nation, of these wonderful 50 states, to the most Sacred Heart of Jesus on this Thursday, June 11th, the anniversary, the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. That's why they want to do it on June 11th. That's the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And our first caller, Andrew, you are from our nation's capital. So we thank you for that, for calling us and for having that providential fact as our first caller today. But some traditional short aspiration prayers in honor of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. How about this? Merciful Jesus, I consecrate myself today and always to your Most Sacred Heart. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love thee more and more. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in thee. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I believe in thy love for me. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. There's a very popular one there. Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. How about that one? And Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, convert sinners, save the dying, and deliver the holy souls from purgatory who are there. So there you have it, some beautiful traditional short aspiration prayers in honor of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, and I might add too, Jack, just a few more points about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It assures us that God has eliminated all distance between us and him, loving us from within our own human nature because he took it on himself. You know, he's a revealed God, in other words. He's manifested himself to the world, in the world, literally, not metaphorically. He assumed a human nature just like mine in every way but sin. And this Most Sacred Heart of Jesus means that a divine person loves us with a perfect human heart. So remember, Jesus Christ is perfect God and perfect man, and consequently, our own wounded human hearts are consoled and perfected by his Most Sacred Heart.
Wide open phone lines for you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833 833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. In 1 second, we're going to talk to Stephanie in Columbus, Ohio. But Father Wade, for the benefit of those who, like me, may have been sitting in history class counting the minutes until football practice started, the significance of June 11th and the Declaration of Independence, because I always thought it was July 4th.
That's a great question. And since you mentioned history class, can I give a shout out to my high school, Ceres High School in California, in the town of Ceres? Okay, and to answer your question, all right, here we go. Get this, that June 11th date is important because of this. It's drafting. Thomas Jefferson primarily wrote the draft of the Declaration of Independence in isolation between June 11th, when he began it, all the way through June 28th, when he finished it up, and that was in 1776. The voting by the Continental Congress took place on July 2nd, 1776, and the adoption of the final wording of the Declaration was approved on July 4th, 1776. So as Ace told us during the break, Jack, we have not been eating hot dogs and hamburgers on the wrong day all these years. Okay. July 4th is still valid because the final wording of the Declaration was finally approved on July 4th, but Thomas Jefferson began writing it on June 11th. Hence our bishops consecrating the nation to the Sacred Heart on the 11th. He finished it up on the 28th. And by the way, he wrote it primarily in isolation by himself. The Continental Congress then voted in favor of it on July 2nd, and its final wording following discussions was approved on July 4th, where in the document, the wonderful Declaration of Independence was officially recognized and thus became our nation's birthday, July 4th.
Next stop for us is Columbus, Ohio. Stephanie is listening on St. Gabriel Radio today. Stephanie, you're on with Father Wade.
Well, good afternoon. First-time caller and excited to be talking with you.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate your call from Columbus. I'm going to be in Cincinnati this weekend, speaking of the Sacred Heart, and I know that's not where you're calling from, but still Ohio, at the 25th anniversary celebration, Mass and Dinner of Sacred Heart Radio, which takes...
Sunrise Morning Show.
Yeah, great coverage of Cincinnati, Dayton, Northern Kentucky there, the Fort Thomas area. So what can we do for you, Stephanie?
Well, so the two things I shared with the screener was first my story of witness, and then second, a quick question. So first of all, my story of witness, I can't remember how many years ago it was, okay. But I heard about going to Mass on 9 First Fridays in a row, receiving communion in good grace, and I just thought, boy, that sounds wonderful, but really lofty with work and family and just life. But I thought, you know what? I have to challenge myself. And I was at a point, you know, in my spiritual journey where I thought, okay, take this on. So I did. And I can't remember if I hit it like the first time through or if I had a restart. I probably had one or two restarts, but I kept after it. And I did. I was able to put together 9 First Fridays, and it was an amazing feeling. And then I started going every First Friday. Uh-huh. And then I started going every Friday. And I retired in 2024 from my full-time career. And now I make it a point to go to daily Mass. And I like, if I can plan my schedule around daily Mass, I do.
Beautiful. So, you know, we talk a lot about the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. So there's a lot of ties between the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Most Holy Eucharist. In fact, some of the fully approved, I want to put emphasis on those two words, fully approved Eucharistic miracles where the consecrated host has turned into flesh and blood has been of the heart, the cordium wall Lanciano specifically is the inner cordium wall. In other words, the interior of the wall of the human heart. And when I think of that miracle at Lanciano from the 700s, it's in Italy where you can still see it till this day. I think of just how much our Lord wants to encompass us and embrace us in his love, that the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano is especially of the inner cordium wall, the inside of the heart. How awesome is that, right? And so your tie-in with the celebration of the Eucharist, Holy Mass, Stephanie, and the Sacred Heart devotion is a great, great connection to call to mind during our discussion of the Sacred Heart this hour. We often talk about the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. And it's so great that you have benefited from the 9 First Fridays yourself. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for a great witness call. Pray for us this weekend in Cincinnati at the 25th anniversary celebration mass and dinner at the banquet on Friday and Saturday, respectively. In Cincinnati to celebrate Sacred Heart Radio's 25th anniversary of existence.
And Stephanie, I think you had a question.
I do. And it may be simple or not, but I understand when I make a commitment to personally consecrate myself.
Yeah.
How does that differ from the bishops consecrating the United States?
Well, they're consecrating the United States per se qua as a nation. For all of our nation's ills, to give them all to our Lord, and a personal consecration is made by the person himself or herself. So that's the difference there. So it's the entity that you're consecrating. So again, you can consecrate your home, you can consecrate your business, you can consecrate your nation, you can consecrate yourself. So these are all beautiful realities of a consecration of any type, to one's guardian angel, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, etc. And so that's the distinction primarily is that distinction right there is the entity that you are consecrating. Great question.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Still time for your calls at 833-288-3986. We'll stay right there in Central Ohio. Janet is also listening on St. Gabriel Radio today. Janet, you are on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father. I just wanted to tell you a quick story. When I was in high school many moons ago, the priest talked about consecrating yourself, your family, to the Sacred Heart. And I think if it wasn't for that talk and the devotion to the Sacred Heart, I would not have gotten my kids through high school for my sanity. Every time they were out, I prayed for their safety and coming home to the Sacred Heart. And thank God they all came home safely. And then Amen. I have a little prayer that I have on a prayer card, and it's Sacred Heart of Jesus, burning with love for us. Grant that I may live in you and for you. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Yes, that's a personal consecration right there. I have a longer one here. In fact, we're going to be praying it this coming Friday at the Solemn Mass in honor of the 25th anniversary of Sacred Heart Radio in Cincinnati, Ohio and surrounding areas. And it goes like this. It's the prayer of consecration to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, but one can pray it on any Friday, any day, especially on Fridays, and especially on the first Friday of the month, which was this past Friday, right? But listen to this, how beautiful this prayer is. My Lord Jesus Christ, I consecrate myself anew to your Most Sacred Heart. I consecrate to you my body with its 5 senses of sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and my soul with all of its faculties, including intellect, will, memory, and imagination. Guide my intellect to know you and my will to choose you. I give to you my entire being without reserve. I consecrate to you all my thoughts, words, and deeds, all my sufferings and labors, and all my hopes, consolations, and joys. In particular, I consecrate to you this poor heart of mine, so that it may love you abundantly with a committed and true love that expresses itself in love of God and neighbor and faithfulness to daily duty. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, may I be consumed as a victim in the fire of your divine love. Amen. And you can find that beautiful prayer of consecration, personal prayer of consecration to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Again, it can be prayed on any day of the week, but especially on Fridays, the day that our Lord suffered and died for us. And especially on First Fridays, because of the First Friday devotion of the 9 First Fridays in honor of the Sacred Heart, you can find this beautiful prayer that I just shared at fathersofmercy.com as a PDF document, ready to print off on your home printer. Go to fathersofmercy.com and click on the magnifying glass in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage at fathersofmercy.com. The search bar in the middle of the page then shows up, and you simply type the words, Consecration, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Consecration, Sacred Heart of Jesus, and it comes right up.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Mark is up next, calling from the Northeast, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Mark, I am so glad you called back. I am anxious to hear Father Wade answer this question. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Some of us have an opportunity, I think there's three or four of us this weekend, to go see the Music Man at one of the city's cultural centers, but it is my understanding that that cultural center is in a local Masonic temple, and I'm wondering whether we can still go, or, you know, with the idea that we don't know if some of the money is going to the Masonic temple. So I'm just wondering if it's okay for us to go to see the musical.
Well, you're not going to the musical because you're supporting, per se, proximately. Remember, there's remote participation and proximate participation. Remote means you're far away from supporting it, and proximate means you're up close to supporting it. In other words, you're not going to the Masonic Lodge per se, again, qua, precisely as to support the Masonic Lodge. You're going to take in a play or a concert, and it happens to be being held at that venue. That would be the church's teaching in that regard. Now, you cannot support directly a Masonic lodge or temple, and so you don't want to do that. That would be proximate participation in the cause per se, but that's not why you would be doing this. That's not your intention. Your intention is simply to go see the play or take in a concert or whatever it is, the event that's taking place there. So can you go there? Yes, there's no sin involved in that regard. And so you want to be able to make that distinction between proximate and remote participation in the entity, in this case, the Masonic Lodge and what they support. So great question. Thank you so much.
We head next to the great state of Connecticut. Jody is listening also on Sirius XM Channel 130. Jody, you are on with Father Wade.
Yeah, hi, Father Wade.
Hi, Jody.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your call. I did my theology in Connecticut at the wonderful Holy Apostles College and Seminary. Great college and seminary. Are you anywhere near Cromwell?
I'm not that far, and actually my spiritual director, Father Bradley Pierce, was my spiritual director. I don't know if you know him, but
oh, yep. Very well. Tell him I said hello. Yes. Yeah, they got some great programs going on there for laity, some devotions going on throughout the week now.
Yep.
A brand new PhD in theology that's online. I think it's the only one in the nation that's a PhD level. So great stuff happening at Holy Apostles. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, just two things. I work a pretty busy corporate job, and I really do everything I can to get there on every first Friday and every first Saturday. But sometimes, especially the Friday because of work, I can't always get there. But mostly, I can.
When you say get there, what are you referring to? Mass?
Mass because of my work schedule.
Okay,
once in a while. Most of the time I can, but not all the time.
Okay.
So I just wondered, you know, I always offer it to Jesus, the suffering that causes me, because I'll rearrange everything just to make sure I'm there, but sometimes I can't.
Right. Well, you know, you're asking a great question. Let me tell you why. Because both the 9 First Friday devotion in honor of the Sacred Heart and the 5 First Saturday devotion in honor of the Immaculate Heart, which we received from Servant of God, Sister Lucia, one of the 3 Fatima seers, they both say, both devotions say, to receive Holy Communion. They do not say per se to attend Mass. Now, granted, to receive Holy Communion, the most normative way is to go to Mass. Granted, I'll grant that. No, of course, right? But there's nothing barring you on a first Friday or first Saturday to receive your Holy, to fulfill your Holy Communion requirement of going to a parish and seeking to receive Holy Communion outside of Mass. Now, to do that, you would need to make an appointment so that the priest is expecting you or the deacon is on staff is expecting you to come to receive Holy Communion. You don't want to just show up and have it done because there may not be anybody there properly deputed to distribute you Holy Communion. But if you research the 9 First Fridays and the 5 First Saturdays, technically speaking, the requirement for both is to receive Holy Communion, but it doesn't have to be per se at a Mass. Now, if it is at a Mass, you can offer that Mass intention that you're making for a greater awareness in society of the love that the Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart have for us, etc. Pray against the sacrileges committed against both hearts, etc., etc. Yes. So if it's at a Mass, great. You can do more in that regard. But as far as your reception of Holy Communion, it doesn't have to be per se at a Mass. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you know you're going to have a busy, busy work day, maybe make an appointment for the late afternoon to go by the parish to receive Holy Communion outside of Mass. But ideally, you would want to try to get to Mass. See if there's a 12:05 or a 12:10 Mass. Quite often in large cities, and I don't know how far Hartford would be away from you, but in large cities, you hardly ever find a 12 noon Mass. You find a 12:05 Mass and a 12:10 Mass. Why? So that the workers, when they get off at lunch right at noon, many of them are clock-ins on time cards, they have that 10 minutes or so to get to daily Mass a few blocks up at the local inner city parish church. So I commend those pastors who set up their midday Mass for workers in inner cities. They set them up for 12:10 or 12:15, and they're usually done by 12:40 or 12:45. So the person can get back in time for within their lunch hour, get back to work. But all that said, there's different things you can do. You can maybe try to go very, very early on a weekday morning. Some parishes have Mass as early as 6:30 a.m. for workers. I've preached many, many week-long parish missions where I'm there for the week and there's two morning Masses. There's like a 6 or 6:30 a.m. Mass Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. And then there's also a 9 a.m. Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday Mass. They have two in the morning hours for the workers. So you might be able to find a 6 or 6:30 Mass or a 7 a.m. Mass in your area that's not your registered parish that you're a registered member of, but maybe you that's out where near your work takes place. So anyway, those are some options to receive Holy Communion on the first Friday or the first Saturday. Thank you, Jody, for your call today from Connecticut.
You know, we've had the great privilege for many, many years of being able to listen to the wisdom and inspiring words of Al Cresta of Happy Memory. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Al made provisions for him going on to his ultimate reward, and he left us Dr. Marcus Peter, who has just hit the ground running and followed in Al's footsteps so beautifully. And I want to invite you to check him out weekdays at 5 Eastern time on EWTN Radio, Ave Maria in the afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter. And keep it right here on this on many of these EWTN-affiliated stations. Coming up next, Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Today talking about shutting down negativity. So check out Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers coming up next on
Boy, I need to tune into that one. I think we all do. We all do to some extent.
We're heading now here. This will cheer you up, Father. We're going to go to your home and native land, the great state of California. Mary Ann is listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Mary Ann, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank both of you. And hello, Father Wade.
Hi, Mary Ann.
I'm prefacing this by saying this. I don't believe this is scrupulosity because I think it's just a question that comes up in my mind. So I am consecrated to the Blessed Mother. When I pray my rosary and such, I really don't even worry about who I'm praying for. A lot of times they'll recommend, with this rosary, I bind my children to your Immaculate Heart. But I figure everything went to her. But then when I'm at Mass, do I, and I want to pray for this and I want to pray for that, and there's somebody that needs to stop, do I recommend them to the Blessed Mother?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, you don't deny. I'm going to put that word in quotes, deny. You never, ever deny your own intentions, even if you've made the 33-day consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You are right in that St. Louis de Montfort said that we offer everything to her through this consecration, and that she knows how to dispense, as our loving Heavenly Mother, how to dispense the graces to the particular intentions known and unknown to us. That is true. He stresses that point. But that doesn't mean you deny, quote unquote, making your own intentions still known to her. You can still make your own personal private intentions known to her. And she does with them as she sees fit, as the loving Mother of God, the great Theotokos. So when consecrating ourselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary under the de Montfort consecration, we don't deny our own intentions and cut that practice off. No, you can still pray for particular things. You can still make intentions known to her, but your consecration per se has let everything be left to her for that dispensing. You are correct about that. But don't equate her dispensing through your 33-day consecration to her, meaning that you now make no intentions whatsoever anymore, or you now no longer make petitions or prayer requests made known to her. No, you can still do that. You can, in fact, in one sense, you want to do that even more now because you know that you're consecrated to the Mother of God, to the Theotokos. And then in regards to your second question, is it possible to consecrate ourselves to too many things? No, not at all. It ticks the devil off even more the more that we're consecrated. I've made a 33-day consecration to the Blessed Virgin. I've made the 33-day consecration to Saint Joseph. I make the 9 first Fridays and the 5 first Saturdays on a regular basis. I don't stop at 9 and I don't stop at 5. I just continue to make them month after month with the proper requirements. I've consecrated.
Unfortunately, Father Wade, I don't think you've consecrated your Comrex to the Immaculate Heart or the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as we have kind of... There, you're coming back. There you are.
Okay. Yeah, we just had a power surge here. I haven't consecrated the Comrex machine, but I have blessed it with holy water. So
there you go. God bless you, Marianne. Thank you so much for the phone call today. I want to really quickly, before we get to the end of the program here, get to Leah in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Leah, thanks so much for holding. You're on with Father Wade.
Yes, this is Leah from Bismarck, North Dakota.
Great.
And Real Presence Radio. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, Leah. Thank you so much.
Yes. I just wanted to share that when my parents got married back in the 40s, one of their wedding gifts was a large picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Mm. And that picture hung in every bedroom that I had as long as I lived at home. And after both my parents passed away, then I got that picture for myself, and I have it hanging in my bedroom.
Beautiful.
Now, so it's the first thing I see in the last when I wake up, and the last thing I see before I fall asleep. And that inspired me to have a real devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And when you were listening, all those different one-liners that you can say.
Yeah, the aspiration prayers, yeah.
As often as I can remember during the day, I always say, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in you.
Amen.
And so that's pretty much it.
Which is kind of a tie-in, Leah, to the Divine Mercy devotion, Jesus, I trust in you. And indeed, with the Divine Mercy devotion, we don't see the Sacred Heart, but the two rays, red and white, symbolic of the Eucharist and baptism, our Lord told St. Faustina, the Divine Mercy seer, the two rays, red and white, are emanating from his Sacred Heart, even though you can't see his heart, and he's in the white baptismal albe, the unisex white baptismal albe for all who are baptized. And I think it's a great way to introduce the Divine Mercy devotion to non-Catholics, because the heart is not seen, and the white baptismal albe is meant for all, because baptism is meant for all, provided they're adequately prepared for the sacrament. All can receive baptism if they've been properly prepared for it. And I think our Lord, when he appeared to Saint Faustina as the Divine Mercy, I think he knew what he was doing. He wanted the Divine Mercy to appeal beyond Catholics, and the Sacred Heart is a specifically Catholic devotion, as is the Divine Mercy, don't get me wrong, but sometimes the Sacred Heart image, the image of the Sacred Heart itself as an actual heart with flames of fire and crowned with thorns, can scare off people because they're not used to that, where the Divine Mercy is more welcoming. And for those of you watching our Facebook Live and YouTube page, look at it behind me right here. Every week I have the Divine Mercy,
the Sacred Heart image
behind me here. So very good. Thank you all for your calls.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. Saint Joseph, terror of demons,
pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, celebrity producer Ace McKay, our call screener Matt Kubensky, and our celebrity social media maven, Mr. Tom Price, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.